This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
You're listening to Free FM 89.0, Tuiamaro Otahapori. This is Ballot Box 23, an opportunity to meet some of the candidates hoping to get your vote in this year's general election.
Kia ora, it is just on 1 minute past one now, and for Ballot Box 23, our first guest this afternoon is Georgie Dancy, who is the Labour Party candidate for Hamilton East, number 31 on the list. She last stood for the local political stage when she contested the Hamilton West electorate in the 2022 by-election, where she came second. Tēnā koe, Georgie, and thanks for coming in.
Kia ora, thanks for having me.
Okay, let's start first of all about your journey into politics and why you've made the big choice to put yourself forward once again so soon.
It does seem about this far into the campaign. It does seem very soon. Running two campaigns back to back has had its challenges. Well, I initially got involved in politics in the Labour Party in 2011. Way back in the day, I supported the local Hamilton East candidate, Sahai Orgard, and have worked on campaigns in Hamilton ever since. In 2020, when the by-election came up, I thought... Oh, no, sorry, that wasn't 2020, that was 2022. Sorry. In 2022, when the by-election came up, I thought this was an opportunity for me to represent the communities that I'd worked with for many years, and so I put my name forward and then thought, why not, I'll do it again this year. Okay. Whether that was silly or not, we'll know.
Okay, well, second place last year for Hamilton West, that was second place by quite a margin. So was that a deciding factor for you when looking at your options for this time round and moving to Hamilton East?
Oh, not at all. Look, I'm overall really proud of what we achieved in that campaign. You know, we really had the odds were not backing us for that by-election, with having a rogue MP, and also polling for Labor at that time was pretty low. A lot of concerns in the communities regarding things like Three Waters. So we really were, it really was a fight. So I was actually very proud of what we did achieve and how small that margin was between myself and the national candidate, and also what we achieved as far as getting our volunteers and our Labor supporters really engaged in the campaign. This time around, I'm standing in Hamilton East because I live in Hamilton East. My kids, I've got three kids, and they all go to school and daycare there. I've lived in Hamilton East actually since I started university at University of Waikato, sort of 20-ish years ago. So it made sense for me to stand in the electorate that I live in, wanting to really represent the community I live in as a place that I understand from my own perspective.
Okay, but it would have made some sense, though, surely, to try to build on the capital that you gained for Hamilton West. Wouldn't it have made more of a push for you?
Yeah, so when the Labor Party's considering candidates, they, you know, look broadly at what candidates are there and where the best fit is. In my case, we have Myra Williamson standing in Hamilton West. She's very connected to the West, having been born there and raised there. So it just made sense from a party perspective for me to jump over to the East and have Myra in the West.
Okay. You're ranked number 31 on the list, and that bodes reasonably well for you possibly getting into the beehive that way. So does the electorate you're standing in matter too much to you personally anyway?
It matters a whole lot, and that's mostly because I would like to see the people of Hamilton East very well represented. I'm actually a little bit scared about what a National Act government could look like, and the cuts that we would have to our public services and people who are already struggling in a cost of living situation, how that could get much worse under that government. So for me, it's very, very important that we have good representation and that our people are fairly represented in our communities. So for me, even though Hamilton East, it's going to be a tough race, and we know that. You know, I'm not a shoo-in for that seat. It's going to take a lot of hard work. I'm in it and doing the mahi every day to get in front of voters and talk about what Labor has to offer them this election.
All right, so let's talk about the electorate in more detail then. What do you see as the major concerns for the Hamilton East area as it stands now?
Yeah, cost of living is what everyone is talking about. Almost every person I speak to says, look, it's tough out there. And it's tough for our lowest income earners, and that's right up to the majority of New Zealanders. Obviously, there's a few that are not impacted, and those might be the ones that the National Party are focused on. But what we're focused on is making sure that people have some relief from the cost of living. People are finding supermarket prices expensive, fuel expensive, everything. So that's been a major focus of our campaign, and that's reflected in our policies that you'll see.
Well, given those things you've highlighted, plus the cost of housing in terms of renting as well as buying,
absolutely,
you can probably understand why there may be some general anti-government feeling at the moment. Mm. That's going to obviously be your biggest hurdle, isn't it, getting past that?
Yes, absolutely, our biggest hurdle. And, you know, that's politics, is that, you know, the communities need to hold the government to account, and when we've been in 6 years, they do that, and that is their role, and I'm happy with that, and very happy to respond. Look, what I see is that we're in a difficult situation post one in 100 year pandemic situation. Across the world, the economies are suffering, and cost of living is rising. Any incumbent going into an election across the world is up against it because of that. But when you look at the statistics across the world, and if you look at the data released last week about the economy, is that actually comparatively we're doing quite well. Yes, things are super tough and we really acknowledge that, but we're not going into a recession. We're managing the economy pretty well. We're not overspending, and we will get through it.
Hard to get that message through, though, isn't it?
It is hard to get that message through because, like we're talking about people on the doorstep, when I'm talking to them, they're not thinking about economies on the other side of the world. They're thinking about how they're going to pay for their groceries at the supermarket. And so that's why our focus has been on ensuring there's some relief for people. So, for example, if we're talking about supermarkets, our GST-free fruit and vegetable policy will ensure that everyone gets a few dollars off when they're at the supermarket buying their food, as one example of the things we're doing.
Out of all the policies that you do talk about and the party position on many things, have you got pet issues or pet policies that you like to call the ones that you care most about?
Yeah, I think we've got a lot of great policies. Look, my background's in employment, and so fair pay agreements is massive for me because it's going to lift paying conditions of so many people. But the other one, actually, that I'm really care about is that scrapping of the $5 prescription fee. So as of July, nobody pays that $5 anymore. And that's got sort of... I like it so much because it's going to have an effect in two ways. First of all, it means people don't have to pay for their prescriptions, which gives them a bit of a less to pay at the pharmacy. And secondly, that flow-on effect to our emergency departments and our hospitals. If people are taking their prescriptions, they're less likely to end up in hospital at the other end. A lot of strain under our healthcare system at the moment. It's one of the ways that we can reduce that strain and make our healthcare system more efficient.
Right, there's a few different scenarios we could look at here. One is that you get to be the MP for Hamilton East and get into government that way. What would you like your key achievements in that scenario to be?
If I got in,
yeah.
You mean?
Yeah, if you are the constituent for that electorate.
Oh, right, yeah. Look, I think I'm really proud to be... taking over, or hope to take over from our current MP, Jamie Strange. He's done a lot of work for Hamilton, and I'm really proud of that. Some of the key things that he's done, which I would like to continue and to continue to invest in, is I got to visit the Ruakura Inland Port last week, and they've got little robots there that deliver things. And it's just a really good example of all the innovation we have in the city. You know, Hamilton is New Zealand's fourth largest city. We're growing rapidly. We're so connected to Auckland and Tauranga. What I would hope that I would really push is that innovation in our city, bringing in business, bringing in jobs, and supporting our people.
And even if you end up a constituent MP for Hamilton East, but end up on the opposite side of the benches, in opposition instead of in government, what would that mean in terms of your ability to function?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to ask me once I'm there.
No, I'm just doing some crystal ball gazing here, would you?
Yeah, crystal ball. So I mean, I guess having not been in Parliament before, I can't tell you exactly what you can and can't achieve. But I would, my aim, of course, would be to continue to push for our communities. So I got involved in politics because I care about our communities. Predominantly, my experience in education and our schooling system, and my aim, should I be elected, is to represent people and ensure that their health, education and housing is lifted for our communities.
Okay, the other level that you could end up in Parliament with is as a List MP, just getting in on the numbers. That's a different scenario in terms of what you'd be able to achieve for the electorate. So how would you approach that?
Yeah, that's right. And I've chatted to a few, actually, List MPs across Labor who just continue to push for those progressive policies for our communities. So although they're not the constituency MP and the electorate MP, they're able to still make that progress and create those networks and push for change in communities.
Well, now that you've been battling, as it were, as a, you know, to get some traction as a potential MP, how prepared do you think you feel for going from a campaigner and a candidate to actually being in the House? I mean, it's a totally different environment there.
I mean, another question you'll have to ask me when I'm there. But I feel as prepared as I can be. I think one thing about campaigning is a lot of people will come to me, even as just the candidate and not an MP, a lot of people will come and ask me for advice and support, which I think is similar to what one might do with an MP. So as far as that, speaking to people in the community and supporting them, I have had the opportunity throughout the campaign to do that. So in that respect, I think I've got a little bit of experience there. I feel as ready as I could be, I think. But yeah, ask me in a few months' time.
You do know, though, from past MPs' experiences, you're always on. As far as the public is concerned, you're always there for them. How are you going to balance that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think less so in this campaign, but more so during the by-election, because it was the only election happening in the country. There was a lot of focus on that, and I really got that that understanding of how it felt to have to be always on and the media is always watching. So I have a little bit of an understanding of what that means. Look, when I've spoken to previous MPs and said, look, oh, I think I'm interested in becoming a candidate or getting involved in politics, one of the first things they've all said to me is your family on board? And that's really showing, I think, of how much family support you really need in this. It's all very well going out and representing your communities, but you need that backing at home. And I think that's something that, I've got a great family who are supporting me a lot, but it seems like that's a big part of it.
Yeah, I would say that this is the big thing I've heard most from people who have been or are MPs is that the toll on personal life and the time that you have to put into the job is huge, and it takes a lot of understanding from all the people around you to make that work. But from a stamina point of view as well, it takes its toll.
I've heard the same, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. From a political viewpoint, you've hitched your wagon to the Labor Party, but is that a full fit for you in terms of your philosophies in life? Or are there aspects of what the party is doing at the moment that you possibly disagree with?
Oh, no, I fully support the Labor Party. You know, obviously there are little bits and pieces that I don't necessarily agree with, and I think, you know, often those will come down as well to those conscious votes types things. But overall, the Labor Party, I feel very... I feel very convinced that we are the party, the largest progressive party in Parliament, so able to make the biggest progressive change, and are the party that are able to really address those cost of living issues that our people are having.
You seem to have enjoyed the campaigning side of things before and obviously enjoying it now, but you're doing door knocking, all that sort of thing. So the relationship with people and getting to talk to people and so on is obviously very important to you. Should things not go your way this time around, is that going to be the end of it for you? Or do you look at another 3 years and think, you know, 2026, maybe that's doable?
Yeah, I'm going to focusing on this campaign for now. We've got 4 weeks to go and 2 weeks until early voting starts, so I'm definitely all in it for the next 4 weeks. I haven't thought too much about the future. Obviously, I'm hoping to get into Parliament, hoping to win the Hamilton East electorate. But beyond that, if I, for whatever reason, didn't get in, I don't think it's the end of my political career, no.
Any aspirations to look at perhaps local government as another option?
I haven't considered local government, no.
Okay. Anything else you want to add to the discussion before we call it quits on this?
Oh, I guess just that how important it is to vote. So you've talked about me getting around and door knocking, etc. And all of that is to get people out and voting. Traditionally, our right-wing voters will vote, but our lefties don't vote, which means that they don't get that representation that they need in government. So my message is just please get out and vote. I hope you vote Labour, but if you don't, vote for whoever. It's a democracy and we just need to get all our voters out this election.
Georgie Dancy, thanks so much for being here for Ballot Box 2023 and best of luck for the rest of the campaign.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.